Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I'm positively here at Zeke's. I've lost control. Rasig is supposed to be the co-host of the program.
Oh, was I? I didn't even know that.
You've been here the whole time. I mean, kind of, sort of.
I was enjoying my peeps, you know?
Well, what happens here every week? There's something. Thomas does this, like, in the middle. Rodericks has gotten in the middle of it. These people think that the Baltimore stickers are my stickers and they're his stickers.
It's just a great gathering place for friends, and all are welcome. Thomas and Dave do a great job, have done a great job of
Dave
just
Pugh.
Organized. Dave Pugh have done a great job of organizing this group. It varies all the time.
Is Dave Pugh here?
He's not. He's on vacation. His son is here.
And actually, Bob Kleinschmidt.
And Bob, his partner, is here.
Well, Dan, you're wondering what the hell we're doing here. What happened was, Rasig and I met each other 40 years ago, and I started doing radio 35 years ago, and he either listens or participates. So when I came to his neighborhood 4 years ago at Coco's, I said, I need a co-host with a K. And so Rasig started doing that down the street. And then he's like, hey, let's get Thomas Rhodes in. I'm like, I know him. And Marcel's like, well, I serve his coffee. And I'm like, let's get Thomas down. He's in the neighborhood. It's good for the neighborhood. So he comes down, and there's little animals that poop out
beads,
right? Beans, right? The you know about the bean pooping?
Copy.
Yeah, you know
Vietnam.
About that, right?
No. Sumatra.
It's Sumatra.
Yeah. There's Vietnamese versions, but they force feed it there, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So a year ago, we all get together. We're like, let's do the show. And they're like, well, the show, this, that, hey, Friday morning, come have coffee. We all get together. So I came by in my Earl Campbell jersey, and I met her and her and him and him. And the next thing I know, they have a Friday morning coffee thing. I was like, I should do the show here. So this was all inspired
great
by
place.
How long have you been doing the coffee thing, Tom?
Oh, God.
30 years?
Is it?
It's in the 1990s.
About 30 years.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
plus.
You gave me a cup of dark roast decaf here, so Lord knows that I need that.
You know who else is here regularly, and Dan knows him too, is Nick the Greek. Nick Seropoulos is a regular here. He's just watching grandkids today.
When did the Friday thing start here? I mean, this is like a Fonzie. You guys made it, both of you made it a big deal to me. You post pictures. We just post for a big picture. This is
every
like
week.
This is a little club, a neighborhood.
We started before the pandemic, myself, Dave Pugh, and Bob Kleinschmidt, and we would just meet every Thursday. And then the pandemic hit, and it sort of ruined everybody's schedule. So,
Born of friendship, born of just, come on out.
Well, I mean, Dave and Bob are customers of mine. That's how I met them.
Okay.
And, you know, just being the owner of the cafe, you want to sit around and shake hands. And so we started, and then, you know, once the pandemic started winding down, we were talking about it, and Thursday wasn't available. So they said Friday. I'm like, perfect. And here we have this great table from the New York City Public Library that I got from my friend. And we just.
It's like a command center.
It is.
A little bit of that. You walked in on this, man. I mean, this is a thing every Friday they do here.
The socialist Ray Oldenburg would refer to this place as a great good place.
A great good
place. And not because the food's good or the coffee's good, but
it is.
Okay. But he
yes.
But when he would use that term to describe places that are not work, not home, where people gather informally, and used to do it on a regular basis all the time. Corner bars, corner benches, where people would just hang out. What?
Playing games
chess,
in the park.
Chess
in the
or
park,
something right? like that. And this guy's a socialist, and a sociologist, who said, you know, there's not enough of that. In the age of the car, where people commute long distances, that, you know, you don't really casually go walk down the street and just meet your friends someplace, right? He wrote about it in a sort of mournful way, that they were lacking that. And the teenagers especially, who grow up in isolated suburbs, don't have those connections, easy connections to make with people. You have to sort of like gather your friends and make an appointment to meet people.
Yeah,
that's what my radio show's about. I mean, it gets me together with all of you. It
sure.
does.
Yes, that's good. But, you know, in city life, the nice thing about city life is, you know, you can actually do this fairly quickly, fairly easily. In some places, just walking down the street. I go to the Swallow at the Hollow because I can walk there.
Also a great place.
Yeah, I can just walk
there. Good place
to
watch football.
Yeah, and baseball.
Snowstorm,
yeah.
You got a place, right? When it snows, that's...
Yeah.
It's a command center when it snows, right?
Yeah.
Literally.
Here?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every bar was like that in town. And this goes to Springsteen saying, you know, cold beer at a reasonable price. Place where you can gather, sit all day. This gentleman's been here since I got here. He's working on his computer, having coffee. I mean, it's really a hub, right? Yeah. I mean, and that's what a coffee shop's supposed to be, right?
So this group gathers 8 to 10 usually on Fridays. But there is one day that they call the Zeekathon, which is an all-day.
It's in November, right?
Is that when the motorcycle show up?
It's December or so, where it's an all-day thing, where they go 8 to 5 at night or 6.
Joe
has done the whole thing,
When does he go to decaf? When does she go to decaf?
Never.
Right.
Just checking it out.
Right.
But they sit here from open to close.
Yes, at the Zeekathon, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the program and taking a little time out of the kitchen here and hosting us. You're taking time. I'm pulling you away from your
table,
your thing. Like, sort of, this is your Friday afternoon thing. So
morning.
I'll get you back. But thanks for having us out, giving us great food, giving us great coffee. Do you want to tell them about the thing that poops the beans, or no? We don't want to tell.
He knows about it.
No, I know. I know, but I thought it was.
They might not know about it. What is it? Civet? So what's it called?
It's a palm civet.
Yeah, right.
It's a palm civet. It's a monkey, weasel, squirrel.
You've done the. I think I wrote about it.
Yeah, we had tastings.
Yeah, yeah.
See it, down the street, and
They poop out. It's not coffee beans. It's
it is.
It is? I thought it was
here's what happens.
Like the seed of something.
Well, coffee is.
You love this part of the story, don't you?
Yeah. It's
coffee is a seed. It's not a bean.
Fantastic. Okay. Anything scatological.
Here, we're going to learn about coffee.
So the palm civet's a nocturnal animal.
You're right.
So it's blind. So when it goes out to eat at night, it sniffs the ripest cherry and eats it out of each little.
Oh, cherries. That's what I thought it was.
Coffee cherry, yeah.
Yeah.
And then all coffee's fermented. 90%+ of it's fermented in water for a couple hours just to smooth it out. There's another way to ferment it is to let the cherry meat rot in the sun on it. That's another process. But the other very little of coffee is fermented in the animal's stomach.
Right. This one
is. It's the digestive juices that make it. It's like the smoothest cup of coffee you'll ever have. Because it was in the stomach. Yeah. And yes,
you've had this coffee.
Remember you had the tasting.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I wrote about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
can't remember everything I wrote.
All right, next time you
you've written
do
a lot,
this.
Dan. You've written
next time
a
you
lot.
Do this, I want to come because it's such a novelty, right?
It is. It's expensive novelty, but it's worth the money.
Yeah.
All novelties are expensive, the good ones, right?
Listen, you go to LA or New York and you get yourself a shot of a Kopi Luwak espresso, you're going to pay $100, and I'm not kidding.
Whoa, really?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How could it better be pretty smooth?
Can you imagine having to go harvest those things?
It's easy, actually.
It is? But you got to be. You have to have people to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, who are the Oompa Loompas?
Oddly enough, the Oompa Loompas pick it up. They poop on a log. They just have this thing that.
So it's very
animals,
clear. It's very easy to find. Yeah.
And, it looks like a payday. It looks like a payday.
Looks like a payday candy bar?
Yeah, it's, it's.
It's a good thing to know.
Hey, well, people so like Ron Spear are here today.
When we're on safari in Sumatra. And my son says, hey, Dad, look, it's a payday candy bar.
Well, you would be safarying in a coffee orchard. That would
all
be
right,
a little weird.
Because Dan's an outdoor man. Dan is taking me fishing out in Western Maryland.
Just make it a little
story. He's not happy we didn't catch much or whatever.
Right.
You're an outdoorsman. You walk through the woods.
Yeah.
My wife came back the other day after walking up through Loch Raven with these berries. And they look like raspberries, but they're purple. They're called wineberries.
Wineberries, no.
Wineberries.
They grow wild, and they have around them like these prickly things. They're kind of hard. You'll cut yourself if you
can
do it
the
wrong way.
Can you eat those?
Right? Oh, I did.
Yeah.
So
and then what happened?
That is what.
Right.
That's what I'm asking you. Like about, right? I was the same way. And my wife's like, no. I Googled it, picture this, that. They're delicious. She's like, Cal up the street eats them. He goes out with his dog or whatever. So she put them on the table in a little bowl. And they're beautiful. They look like little blackberries.
Okay.
They look like tinier, size of a raspberry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, they're a little tart. And I'm like, and they might be poisonous. I'm thinking that. Like, Rogers, I'm like, what the hell are these? She's like, they're not poisonous, dude. I ate a couple yesterday. And I'm like, all right. So I looked at them for a day. I looked at them a second day. Third day, some fruit flies came. Fourth day, I'm looking at them. And then I looked outside, and we feed the squirrels. And it looked like an animal I didn't recognize had pooped. And I looked after them. I'm like, That doesn't look like raccoon poop, fox poop. I don't know what poop that is.
Coyote poop?
She's like, no, your damn berries that you didn't eat. I put them out there for the raccoons, and it looked like a payday bar. So, 2 days ago, I come home, and there's berries again. She's like, I picked you some more, and you should try it. I said, sneak it into my cereal tomorrow.
Oh.
So 2 days ago, I had raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, which I do every day, all picked by immigrants, idiots. And I took a bite, and I had a different flavor. It tasted like a blueberry, but like a huckleberry. You ever had huckleberry?
Mm-hmm.
If you've been out in Montana or Idaho, everything out there is huckleberry milkshake, huckleberry. Huckleberry tastes like blueberry, but a little different.
Okay.
It's a little different, but more like a blueberry. This thing was delicious. There were like three or four in there, and every time I crunched on one, I'm like, I had milk in my mouth and cereal. I'm like, I'd never had one. So here's my point. This thing pooping
to
bean.
I was wondering when we get around to it.
When are we going to get to that?
This thing pooping to bean doesn't sound so good.
Yeah.
He's telling me it's $100 a cup. I'm telling you, my wife walked through the woods finding, and I love berries, but the first thing I said about her berries is, that's going to kill me. That's going to be poisonous. And as it turns out, I finally had a wineberry 48 hours ago, and they are absolutely delicious.
And you're still alive.
She picked me more yesterday.
And you're still alive.
Well, what happens is it's like the monkeys or the whatever they are eating the berries. Birds eat the ripe ones, so they're really hard to find in the wild because the birds will get to them first. So eat more wineberries when you're out in the woods. Okay?
That's your lesson.
I want to get Cal in here. He's not going to draw. His cartoons are black and white. I wouldn't know a wineberry from a blueberry if you didn't point it out. So we're going to let him go.
He's here.
We're going to draw up democracy. We're going to draw up democracy in the next segment.
Okay.
Thanks, Thomas. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you for everything, the hospitality, the love, the coffee. We're Six here, Dan's here, I'm here, we're at Zeke's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. The Great Cow, Kevin Colliger's coming in, and we're going to, I'm going to eat my biscuit, and we're going to talk about democracy and journalism and, like, important things. Stay with us.